next-gen air traffic control. What's in it for general aviation? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. At the recent annual Industry Review and Market Outlook briefing offered by the General Aviation Manufacturers Association, 2008 Gamma Chairman Alan Klapmeyer talked about the recent performance of the industry and looked ahead. You heard his comments last week on the Aero News special feature. Today, we follow up with Gamma President Pete Bunce and his comments on how the FAA's next-gen air traffic control system will benefit general aviation if we prepare for it. We'll present his comments today and tomorrow.
Well, Alan just talked about that war that we had last year. And when you look at traffic and you look at convective weather and you see what's happening around the country as we move through the day, of course, this is Zulu time, so you got to subtract five. But you'd look at that and you'd say, geez, how does anybody fly? But then when you think about it, you go, each one of those dots out there is about the size of New York City. And we're looking at it from a guide's eye view, so you're not seeing it how aircraft are stacked on top of one another, and you really would put this in perspective, you realize there's tremendous capacity out there. But what's happening is, in this war, we're not focused on being able to get together and work the capacity issues, work the modernization issues, because everybody is out there fighting each other over issues like user fees and passing costs onto general aviation. Now, it is a matter of fact that the aircraft or the airlines have the hub-and-spoke system, and that economic model drives certain things within the system. But it's important that this entire industry keep its eye on the ball, and that ball is modernization. And so I'm going to spend a few minutes here talking about modernization as the key to our future. And what I want to cover in that area is the successes that we've had in 2007 with the bedrock elements of modernization, what critical decisions we have to make in this year, 2008, and finally, why there is such a need for urgency. So let's look at that first issue of successes. In 2007, the FAA, in conjunction with industry, started moving out required navigation performance, RNP approaches for general aviation finally hit the streets. The airlines are starting to become very good users of RNP. In addition, we had the ADS-B rule brought out so that we can go ahead and comment on it. Now, these two bedrock technologies are not so linked that you can't do one without the other. But the important thing is working together, these two technologies provide the capability that we can go and build upon the capacity that they will allow us to enhance to be able to truly modernize the system in an evolutionary form. We are not going to reach 2025 and turn on a switch and all of a sudden have a brand new system. That is not going to happen. We are going to evolutionary process will take place to transform this system. But let's talk about the first of those. Let's talk about RNP. Under traditional navigation methods, we had to go and sanitize airspace to be able to allow for the very imprecise nature of navigating from point to point with VORs. We had to clear airspace around obstacles, and we also had to make sure that between flight paths, we cleared airspace, and when weather came in, we found that we couldn't use certain runways that underlie approach corridors for others because of the ambiguity in where the aircraft are. With RNP approaches, what happens? We fly, for lack of a better term, a very precise tube. So not only horizontally, but vertically, we're flying this tube down, and that precise navigation, that ability for the pilot to look inside the cockpit and tell where they're straying just a minute amount, opens up new runways out there and opens up capacity that is truly phenomenal. And we are very excited that general aviation has a capability to have these approaches. And if you look at what happened this year, we had four new approaches, three of them shown on this map and one out in Hawaii. Two are in the Atlanta area and one in the eastern part of California. We have introduced these RNP approaches. In the coming years, you look at 2008, we start to expand, and then further beyond 2008, we start to promulgate more and more approaches. Now, this is very important, and the only thing that we are asking the FAA is to accelerate this process. Industry working with government to be able to get more and more approaches out there. But let me show you how important it is to be able to fly this. This is going into Peachtree DeKalb Airport down in Atlanta, and you see the towers off in the distance there. When the weather comes in, a lot of times the approach is not available. But if you look now with the type of approach that we can do using RNP, we can go very, very close to towers, opens up a tremendous amount of airspace. Think about that just like you would a mountain. And if you put weather over this, the pilot's not going to see those towers, but relying on the instrumentation within the cockpit, they will be able to fly this very precise flight path and open up a tremendous amount of capability for us. RNP is a true building block, and it's a key to the future. With that, we have ADS-B. One of the important things for people to realize is when you work with the old radar infrastructure, the radar sweeps and sends out a beam. It hits the aircraft. The transponder sends a code back. But there is a large amount of airspace that there is ambiguity in that return. The farther the aircraft is from the radar, the less precise its position orientation. So airspace has to be built to provide for that ambiguity in there. Well, with ADS-B, we don't have that. Satellites give their position to the aircraft. The aircraft, being the important node in this process now, sends a signal down to the ground stations, and these ground sites that ADS-B is going to employ is about the size of a refrigerator. Infrastructure costs start to go down dramatically for the FAA to be able to go ahead and maintain that. Some of the radars will be able to be retired, and this technology is absolutely essential as we go forward. We are working with our partner associations to try to work with the FAA to be able to quantify the benefits that we can get out of this system to be able to build that capacity.
We'll return with more of Pete Bunce's comments at GAMA's annual Industry Review and Market Outlook briefing in a moment. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and no ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to our Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Flagg. We're listening to Pete Bunce's comments at GAMA's annual Industry Review and Market Outlook briefing. Having discussed the roles of ADS-B and RNAV in the next-gen air traffic control system, what does it mean for GA manufacturers? Here's Pete Bunce.
When you look at the critical decisions that need to be made in 2008 to be able to move forward from this foundational level technology that's first out there, we have to make some absolutely critical decisions. Because we as manufacturers have to act on requirements. We can't get requirements until we know, we talked about this previously at these luncheons, we have to know the end result of the plan. And the questions we have to resolve is, what is going to be the role of the aircraft? Specifically in the aircraft, what is the pilot's function going to be? And what is the avionics or the computer on board the aircraft? What functions do they have? And when you go to the ground infrastructure and you look at that, we have to know what the roles of the dispatcher are or the control center, what the role of the computer is on the ground, this large Cray integrating computer out there, and what the roles of the controllers are. And let me use an example to illustrate this. If we go and we take care of the Jake 1 arrival, or look at the Jake 1 arrival into Morristown, New Jersey, we have two fixes that are down here in the Maryland area that we go in and feed into this airport. Now, think about in the future. And you want to have aircraft arrive at a very close interval into Morristown Airport. And the controller in the control tower, it's snowing outside, like today up there, and he says, okay, I've got to establish this interval because the runway's slippery, and I've got to be able to have these airplanes land as expeditiously as possible, but I've got to account for the interval. Or you have an airline dispatcher at another airport says, my gates are going to be full at this time, so I need aircraft to arrive on final and touch down at these specific times so I have gates free for them to pull directly into. Well, if I want to arrive at those specific points in space and at time, is the computer on the ground going to take that dispatcher or that control tower information, send it into this integrating computer? Is that computer going to transmit a computer-to-computer message up to the cockpit, and the aircraft is going to fly a path? It may not be a straight-line path. It may be slightly curved to arrive using its max range cruise speed at altitude to that specific point in space. If that happens, is the pilot going to acknowledge the instructions? Is the controller going to watch this, manage a whole bunch of airplanes out there getting these computer instructions, making sure the pilots acknowledge them, and then be able to do the audibles when we have convective weather pop up or an emergency happens? So we can go and shift controllers from one job to another. Is that what the controller's role is going to be? When we get on final approach and we come down on those R&P approaches and we converge into the same tube, are we going to have what's called self-separation? Is the computer in one airplane going to talk to the computer in the other airplane and adjust its interval so that the speeds are compatible and we can optimize the spacing between those? Ladies and gentlemen, we don't have those answers yet. And just as Alan challenged the aviation press in the room, I challenge you, you need to be asking those questions. Because until we get those roles figured out, we as the manufacturers won't get requirements. So we can't give a precise timeline of how quickly we can get the fleet equipped. And it's important for everybody to realize that the cost of the new system is going to be borne primarily for those that are equipping. The cost is going to go to the aircraft. It's not going to be so much as in the ground infrastructure. And that's why this emphasis that we've had on this user fee debate really clouded the picture, when really the cost is up to the aircraft and all we want to do is get the plan and get the requirements. Why is there a need for urgency? Well, a couple of things are very important out there. First of all, capacity. Alan mentioned Phil Boyer's term, NowGen. I love it. Jim May from the Air Transport Association loves it. In fact, Jim, I think, is trying to steal it from Phil. But what does NowGen mean? Well, we're very supportive of Phil's concept out there, that there are specific things that we can do in this system today to build capacity. I'll talk about those in a second. And along with capacity, we have this giant gorilla bearing down us, and that's the environmental concerns. I'm going to talk about that in a second. And last but not least, no matter what happens in the election, we're going to have a change in administration, and we have a finite window to be able to drive our agenda to policymakers, and we're going to have to live with what happens as this new administration takes hold, so we've got to be able to shape that debate. You know, in this picture, when we look at capacity, a lot of times we see this picture up in the press, and folks don't realize, you know, in the last one, the dot was about the size of New York City. Each one of these airplanes is about the size of Rhode Island. But it's unmistakable that the hub-and-spoke system drives the capacity issue, and if we don't do something about this and help the airlines in this capacity situation, it's going to impact us. Why? If folks have another summer like they did last year of missing their vacations, missing their business appointments because of canceled flights, it is going to spill over onto general aviation when people try to do a knee-jerk reaction to try to fix this problem. So it's in all of our best interests to come together and deal with the capacity issue. And as I said, I think the NowGen recommendations, and you'll hear more and more about those in the next few weeks, are a great, great set of recommendations that AOPA has put forward to be able to go and try to capitalize on what we can do today to build more capacity in this system.
When we conclude tomorrow, Pete addresses a major issue all aviation interests will face in the near future, environmental concerns. Pete Bunce is the president of the General Aviation Manufacturers Association, and his comments come from GAMA's annual Industry Review and 2008 Market Outlook Briefing. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you'll find us at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.